That man in the report by Candace Cobbing in the newscast. Did you hear that, Matt? I saw that coming. I saw the 7-1. No, you didn't. You're a liar. You're lying. No one saw a 7-1 victory coming for Germany. No one did. I just wanted to point that out. That man was a liar. In any case, a shocking win by Germany. The score, not the win. Many people had Germany winning. The score was what shocked everyone. All right, let's move on. This is something that grabbed our attention because it screams, the question, what? And, you know, I could see a lot of problems coming from this. I really can. The allergy world is abuzz with, get this, news of a hypoallergenic peanut being developed by researchers at North Carolina's Agricultural and Technical State University. So many questions come up when I hear that, there's time being devoted into generating and coming up with a hypoallergenic peanut. That's number one. But number two, what? I mean, this has to be 100%. If it's not 100%, any traces of, you know, an allergen, any potential traces of any, whether it's a percent of it or 2%, can still harm people. So why is this even being thought of? It's a head scratcher. Alexandria Durrell is a writer and a mother who is passionate about allergy support. Take some time for the conversation this morning. Hi, Alexandra. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. This is bit of a head scratcher. It took us off guard when producer Neil Adams emailed this to me. I said, "Why? I mean, why? Isn't this just setting someone up for a lawsuit?"
Yeah, you know, I absolutely agree. I have no idea, and my whole world is sort of immersed in this allergy community. And my son is allergic. He's peanut allergic, nut allergic, and we have dealt with other food allergies in the past. And I don't know. I don't know what the reasoning behind this study is. It's completely confusing, and you're so right. A margin of error of 2% is like 2% too much.
Yeah. Has anyone mentioned why this is even being done? I mean, it just seems like somebody has too much time on their hands, if I can put it that way, kind of putting money and research into something like this when, you know, as I say, unless it's 100% hypoallergenic, I mean, does that even exist with anything?
No, it absolutely doesn't. It's like somebody saying they have a hypoallergenic dog, and it just doesn't exist. If somebody's allergic, they're allergic to the proteins in either an animal saliva or a food protein. And in peanuts in particular, there are more than two, I think there may be three, I'm not sure, three proteins that exist inside a peanut. And so they can remove those. And from a scientific perspective, I think, you know, the study is kind of neat. It's like, hey, that's a cool scientific study to do. However, bringing something like that to the public to say it looks like a peanut, smells like a peanut, tastes like a peanut, but, you know, this one is safer than the traditional peanut is really dangerous. So I don't know what the end result is hoping to be. I read an article that said those involved in the study had said, we're hoping that these are used to treat patients in immunotherapy, which is where they take microscopic amounts of an allergen and expose an allergic person to that. And over time, the intention is to build some kind of a tolerance. It's not a cure for an allergy, but it is something on the way to that. And studies haven't shown that that's safe for everybody yet. So allergists aren't offering that as a treatment. And so right now what they're using is just a regular peanut. So I don't really see why we needed something that isn't hypoallergenic but has a couple proteins removed in order to use it in those therapies, because they're not effective and they're not necessary.
Yeah, you know, and I'm so glad that you brought up the hypoallergenic dog, because Neil and I were talking about that as well. And my girlfriend's a veterinarian, and it just absolutely drives her nuts when, you know, you hear advertising for, or, you know, people going around talking about hypoallergenic dogs. It just you know, it doesn't exist. So I'm glad that you brought that up. But, So this peanut, it, as you mentioned, it looks the same. It tastes the same. There's no way of telling a regular peanut and this type of peanut apart.
Right. So as it stands now, they basically soak a peanut in an enzyme, in a solution that essentially removes a couple of these proteins from it, and then it looks exactly the same. So as an example, a practical example, my son's school doesn't allow them to bring any foods that are replacements for peanut butter. So there's a product on the market that is a soy-based butter. There are sunflower seed butters too. They look like peanut butter. They don't taste like it, but they're a close enough approximation that kids will still eat them. So it's a safe option for them. But they're not allowed to bring them into school because there can be that confusion. In another school that we attended, some parent had decided that because those alternatives look the same, they thought they could just send in regular peanut butter and maybe fly under the radar. And we're not talking about somebody sneezing or even having some kind of mild reaction to it. Exposure to this, if somebody ingests even the smallest amount, can lead to death.
Can it really? Because I was going to ask you about that. So it can cause death, even the smallest exposure.
Absolutely. And allergies vary so much from person to person that one person who has a reaction to peanuts, it could be swelling and nausea, could be vomiting. Another person could go into anaphylaxis. And if that happens without an EpiPen or another kind of device with them, an Allerject, they can die. So there's no margin of error, and a previous reaction is no indication of what a reaction may be in the future. It could be mild today, and it could be life-threatening tomorrow. It's very risky for them to put something like this or even bring it to the public to say that this would be an option for people. It's confusing. The vast majority of people don't have to deal with these things every day, so they're really not educated about it, and it's just so dangerous. There's no way to label an individual peanut to say, you know, this one only has a margin of error of 2%.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. So why are you so passionate about the allergy world?
Well, my son was born with major food allergies, and before he was even a year old, he was identified with having more than half a dozen food allergies. Mm-hmm. So we've been dealing with this, our family, very personally for four and a half, so 4 years, we've been dealing with this ourselves. And because I had to reach out and find information about this, I've met other parents whose children have multiple food allergies. I've dealt with the general public and their reaction regarding food allergies. And I think it's just something that we have these two polarized views about them, and we kind of need to bring those together and let everyone outside of our little allergy bubble know that it's not irrational. We're not asking for these crazy things because we're, you know, the helicopter parents or bubble wrapping kids. This is real threat to people's lives, and it isn't just kids. There are plenty of adults. I could wake up tomorrow with a life-threatening food allergy too. So my past history has no indication of what tomorrow will bring. So it's my passion to bring these things out and, you know, let people know what the research is about it and let people know exactly what it's like to live with a kid who has food allergies.
You know, it's interesting, and it must be tough because, you know, I consider myself lucky. I, as far as I know, don't have any allergies. I don't sneeze. I don't get itchy eyes. No, I seriously,
lucky.
I don't. And I consider myself lucky because many of my friends, you know, will be golfing or even my girlfriend, right? She'll always, you know, something will happen. She'll have, you know, our eyes will be itchy for whatever reason.
And I
don't know how it feels. Like, I've never experienced that. And I do consider myself lucky, but at the same time, a little bit ignorant when it comes to it, because I don't get it, right? I mean, sometimes I'll ask my friend, like, what's wrong with your eyes? Like, why are you scratching your eyes, or why are you doing that? And they'll look at me, allergies, man. You know, I've never experienced it.
Why don't you just take a pill?
It.
Take some medicine.
Exactly.
Just don't do that. Don't pet the dog. It'll be totally fine.
Yeah, no. but there's ignorance, right? Like some people that don't experience it don't know. Right.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was the same way. And we have a daughter who's older, and she was born with, she has no food allergies. She has no allergies whatsoever, nothing environmental. My husband, on the other hand, he's a world of allergy problems. Nothing food related, but environmental and animal allergies and, you know, dust and everything else. He's just a constant sneezing machine. And it really does take a toll on someone's well-being. It's exhausting, and it's frustrating, and you're constantly looking for a medication that you can take that'll keep you, you know, it's not going to make you drowsy, but this one keeps you up all night, or this one is ineffective and trying a different one. And then there are asthma links to that as well. So I could sympathize with my husband, but I never really understood it until we had my son, who, and now at four, he also has environmental and and animal allergies as well. There's a definite genetic link, I believe, between those kinds of allergies and passing them down to kids. So he deals with this stuff firsthand. It's exhausting trying to teach a small kid that, you know, you're allergic to peanuts and nuts, and that doesn't mean that something has a peanut on top. That could mean that a cupcake sat next to another cupcake with peanuts, or that somebody baked bread in a pan where a nut product was also baked. And because we really don't know just exactly how sensitive the allergy is, we just can't be too careful. So any product that says it may contain something is off limits to him. And it's really, it's all consuming and it's very frustrating. And I can guarantee that there isn't a single person out there with a food allergy who's enjoying it. It is so scary every single day and it's just so frustrating. I'd give anything just not to have to deal with it at all. And I miss that kind of casual living where you can go anywhere and eat anything and you can be adventurous with your food.
Yeah.
And, you know, on a road trip, walk into a total dive and grab a sandwich. And those things are just impossible with a person with food allergies, unfortunately.
Yeah. And those of us, you know, such as myself that have never experienced that. I mean, how can we understand? Let me ask you this. This, you know, these researchers at North Carolina's Agricultural and Technical State University, they're trying to obviously, you know, I mean, I'm sure they don't have any malicious intent. You know, they're trying to come up with something here that will let, you know, kids and people enjoy, you know, peanuts again. But it's just, you know, what are your hopes that this doesn't ever hit the market? I mean, that, you know, because again, like, can we be 100% sure that it doesn't have any traces of allergens in it?
Absolutely not. My hope is that this would go through obviously rigorous testing first before it would ever hit the market. I mean, typically that's the way things are done with these kinds of technologies anyway. So if they're looking to remove allergens, I mean, I guess they can see somehow along the lines if they figure out how to remove 100% of the protein allergens in a product, how that may be effective for studying and helping people build up tolerances. I'm not 100% sure what their goals are. I haven't tried to reach out to them personally for information, which is something that I might do to find out what their end goal is. But no, there's no benefit to putting a product that looks, smells, tastes, and is essentially the same on the market that could kill somebody.
I mean, they'd have to be packaged differently with a different color or something.
There's just no possible way.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely impossible. And you probably couldn't convince a person who has lived with a peanut allergy to
try
eat
one,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just terrifying. I couldn't, my son is scared of trying foods because they're of the possibility. And we're not talking about something that looks and tastes. And they've said it maintains the integrity of the food, so the nutrients are still there. Because nuts are, I mean, they're a great source of protein, and they're a fabulously healthy option for, you know, healthy oils and everything that kids miss out on who are allergic. So, yeah, I mean, I can understand what they're going for from that perspective, but it's just unreasonable.
Well,
so I'm really hoping that, no, it doesn't make the market.
Yeah, Alexandra, if you do reach out to them, if you do speak with them, maybe we'll connect again, and we'll have you on the show again sometime in the future. Thanks
That'd
so much for doing this. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Alexandra Durrell right there. She's a writer, a mother who clearly has a strong passion, as you hear, for sharing allergy support. She's done some research in the area as well. As I mentioned with Alexandra on the line, I consider myself very lucky. I don't have any allergies that I know of. I never sneeze, cough. I don't get itchy eyes. I'm not bragging. I'm not trying to say I'm amazing. I don't understand. You know, how can I understand if you're someone that lives with allergies, you know, or, you know, not to say severe allergies? What is it like living with allergies? I mean, what are the types of things that you have to look out for, that you have to be careful, mindful of on a regular basis? We'll take some of your calls and emails after this on Rogers TV and 570 News.
And allergies vary so much from person to person that one person who has a reaction to peanuts, it could be swelling and nausea, could be vomiting. Another person could go into anaphylaxis. And if that happens without an EpiPen, they can die.
570 Midday continues with Eric Drost.
I know allergies are bad. I know that living with allergies must be a royal pain. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are allergic to many things. My girlfriend is allergic to, you know, she's always, you know, to the environment, I guess, things in the environment. You know, she's always scratching, you know, itching her eyes or sneezing. I don't, and I consider myself lucky. I don't live with any allergies that I know of. I've never had a runny nose, a sneezing fit, and again, I consider myself lucky, but to an extent, I'm also, ignorant as a result as to how it is like living with a severe allergy. Do you have allergies? Do you have to be mindful of things all the time? Call me right now. Let me know. 519-570-2545 locally, out of town, 1-800-570-5715. Star 570 on your cell by email, eric@570news.com. Alexandria Durrell was just on the line with us. She's a writer, a mother who has a big passion for sharing allergy support, of course. The allergy world is abuzz. We're talking about this hypoallergenic peanut that's being developed by researchers at North Carolina's Agricultural and Technical State University. I mean, that means nothing but trouble to me. Lawsuits, people in the hospital. Who, if you have a peanut allergy, who is going to put a peanut that smells, looks, and tastes like the one that could kill you in their mouth? Who is going to do that? Why even work on something like this? I just don't get it. Matt, I know you have, you were just telling me off the air that you have, as the phone rings, go ahead. Matt has a peanut allergy, and I was just going to ask him about it. It seems like trouble to me, and I'm not sure why this is being developed. There's no way, it's ridiculous, there's no way of being able to label anything like this to say that, hey, folks with peanut allergies, this one is safe, trust me. Who's going to put that in their mouth? This is Melissa in Waterloo. Hi.
Hi. I don't have any allergies that I'm aware of either, so I also consider myself lucky.
Yeah, absolutely.
My husband, he has allergies, and they're, I just don't like them.
Yeah.
But I have to tell you, these are two stories. There used to be a little boy who lived on our block, or he used to come to visit his grandmother who lived on our block, and
yeah.
She had come home from the grocery store, was putting her eggs in the fridge, and dropped one of them on the floor. And so, of course, she got down and she wiped it off and cleaned it off with a paper towel and water. And,
yeah.
The little guy, less than 2 years old, came trotting in and just walked over where the egg had been dropped. And he has allergies. And he blew up like a balloon.
Wow.
Like they called the ambulance. Like, he could barely see his eyes anymore. Like, I saw the kid. And it was absolutely horrifying to me because, of course she wouldn't have done that if she had known. And that could happen anywhere. Like, that's just, okay, maybe if he had shoes on. But, you don't need to have shoes on when you're
sure.
walking around in the house.
Yeah.
The second thing is a guy, one of my coworkers' husbands, he was allergic to peanuts they didn't do him any good. Let's just put him that way. But he could eat them. It was never really a problem. And then one day, he hadn't had any for quite a long time, and he went through a drive-thru and ordered chocolate chip cookies, and they gave him peanut butter instead. And just as he was pulling out, he reached in the bag, didn't even look, and went to take a bite of it. And apparently this time, he got the full-blown, deadly peanut
yeah.
reaction. And I can't imagine what that would be like. So the idea that they're even trying to screw around with this,
yeah.
it's like, there's cancer. Go for that.
I got you, yeah. Melissa. Thanks so much for the call. Really appreciate it. Want to get Jack in Cambridge on the line. Hi, Jack. Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to let you know, when I was younger, between the ages of 8 and 15, I had bad allergies. So bad I had to go to a doctor every week to get allergy shots, serum.
Yeah.
But my allergies was trees, grass, dust, stuff like that.
The environment, yeah.
Yeah, which is a whole lot different than food allergies. Food allergies is way more serious, I think. I had to deal with a blocked up nose.
Yeah.
My ears would plug, but never, close to fatal incidents like the lady just before just mentioned, right? So,
yeah.
My heart goes out to anybody who has allergies, and I know you can go to drugstores and get whatever medication, but it's a Band-Aid cure. It's not a cure to,
Yeah, you know what? Thanks, Jack. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. It's, it's one of those things, I'll never, very quickly, Matt, would you try? You have a peanut allergy. You would never try one of these.
I have a solution for this very quickly. We dye the hypoallergenic peanuts a fluorescent pink color, and then I'll try them.
Really?
Yeah.
You would actually try one?
I would try them if they did that.
All right. We'll be back right after this here on Rogers TV and 570 News. It's 11:35. Welcome back to the program. Glad that you could be along. It is 570 News Midday on 570 News and Rogers TV. Coming up at 12:05, Dorothy Hunter will be joining me. She's a pet store owner. Paws Natural Pet Emporium is a store in Washington State. She's on an all-dog food diet. You're hearing that correct. She is eating the food that she is selling in her store to make a point. So I'll let your head kind of wrap around that about 25, 30 minutes before Dorothy will be joining me on the program to talk about that at 12:05. Right now, I wanted to take some time to talk about Toronto Mayor Rob Ford. And I know that many people that listen to talk radio and that follow along with the news, quite frankly, have been sick of all the discussion of Rob Ford. And I hope you've noticed that since Rob Ford has been back, we have done our darnest to avoid the conversation. But now what's happening, ever since Rob Ford had the run-in with the shirtless jogger, I'm sure everyone's heard about it. If you hadn't, he was in the Pride Parade, wasn't it, Matt? He was walking in the Pride Parade, or he was in some kind of walk. And there was a man jogging who ended up getting into a bit of a confrontation with Rob Ford and started yelling at him. Do the responsible thing, resign, drop out of the race, yada, yada. And that kind of became an internet sensation. Now there's an entire group based off of that shirtless jogger that has formed. And Rob Ford cannot go anywhere. He cannot get anything across without being heckled. Now, I will say this. Yes, I am one of Rob Ford's biggest critics. And I have been since the get-go. I remember a year ago, probably more than a year ago now, when the whole thing first started coming out, when the Toronto Star and Gawker published the story about the mayor smoking crack cocaine, allegedly at that time. I was the one that came on the air and said, I know he's doing it. This is terrible. He's a public figure. You know, this is the biggest metropolitan area in Canada, fourth largest metropolitan in North America. He shouldn't be there, yada, yada. And I still believe all those things. However, after Rob Ford admitted to smoking crack cocaine, after having lied for a long time, and told us that he would go into rehab and try to, you know, come to terms with his demons, whatever you want to call it, I'd like to point out that he's done that. And now since he's done that, is it time for people, for us, to leave Rob Ford alone? Because he did say, look, I'm going to go into rehab, I'm going to try to deal with my problems, and I'll come back a better man. Whether the rehab worked is debatable, right? We could talk about whether rehab works. We could talk to professionals and experts on whether, you know, what he did even has a chance of working. Whatever. The point is, he went into rehab. He said he would. He went in. He came back. And now he is focusing on running his campaign. But here's what happens whenever Rob Ford tries to talk.
As you know.
Resign.
As you know, friends.
Resign. You don't have any friends.
Traffic congestion costs Toronto billions of dollars each and every year.
You're ineffective and you don't.
Traffic creates pollution and harms the environment. It keeps us away.
So whenever Rob Ford is going to be trying to get anything across out in the public, he has hecklers on him now that are part of this. And here's the other thing. It's all shirtless men, right? Because of this whole jogger thing. Yelling at him, resign, resign, resign. You're ineffective. You're this and you're that. Now, look, I'm not saying that Rob Ford didn't bring all of this upon himself. And I'm not saying that he maybe doesn't deserve this. Maybe he does. But Rob Ford did what he said he would. He went into rehab. He's back now, supposedly a changed man. We have an election, well, of course, here locally and also in the city of Toronto coming up in October, at the end of October. Why not now just let him run this campaign, whatever you want to call it, and let him fizzle out? No one's going to vote for him. He's behind in every single poll. You know, I think we've done our job, is what I'm trying to say. I think it's over that way. I think the media has managed to get across to everybody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm quite happy that people are finally starting to say that they're not going to vote for Rob Ford, because frankly, when you're a position of power like Rob Ford is, before being stripped of all his power, and as I say, you're the mayor of a large city like Toronto, you cannot be smoking crack cocaine. Period. I don't care about money this, money that, great for... You cannot be smoking crack cocaine. Period. That's it. So, we've done our job, is what I'm trying to say. Right? Everybody, no one's going to vote for him. He's behind in every poll. He's not going to win this election. So, is it time now for us to kind of say, all right, let him just fizzle out here. Let the whole thing just go. He's admitted to smoking crack cocaine. No one's going to vote for him, I don't think. He's behind in every poll. So stop with the heckling. Because now it's just like, you know, I actually felt bad for him. When that guy was yelling in the background, holding up signs, and I never thought I would say this, I actually kind of felt bad for Rob Ford. 519-570-2545, locally, out of town, 1-800-570-5715, star 570 on your cell by email, eric@570news.com. After doing what he said he would do, going to rehab, does Rob Ford still deserve this relentless heckling? On the email, eric@570news.com, Rob Ford should do what Seinfeld did and go to the heckler's place of work and heckle him, see how he likes it. That would be really funny, although that would turn and backfire on Rob Ford for sure. This is Dave in Kitchener. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
People like in the media, what got to always be doing there is, even right from day one, give the poor man his private life, okay? He's entitled to it there, okay?
Like, Dave, you give up your private life when you go into office.
I know, but I mean, like, okay, for example, like when he got drunk on the Danforth there. I mean, okay, so what? Everybody got drunk, okay? But they made a media frenzy out of him there. Like, I mean, let him have his time, okay? But the thing is, sir, is Rob Ford is back, changed man. You see some of the write-ups in the Toronto Sun there. He is seriously trying to turn his life around.
Well, and, you know, you may have a point. Thanks, Dave. Really appreciate it. Let's keep going. This is Sue in Guelph. Hi, Sue.
Yes, how are you today?
Good.
Good. Listen, I would just like to know, these hecklers that are bugging Rob Ford all the time, do they not have a flipping job?
That's a great question, actually.
You know, are we paying their wages for unemployment insurance or welfare or what? Apparently, they're going to be out every time he's out at a speech.
Yeah.
I mean, you could work on shifts and be off a shift. But if you're going to be out every time that he's out doing something, who in the devil is paying their way in this world?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I did read one of the articles this morning about one of the people, John Furr, who is the shirtless protester that we heard yelling in the background, which, by the way, we tried to get John on the show today, but he was busy. I guess he was maybe at work. He does have a job. I believe he's an accountant.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's kind of like, maybe being a real estate agent. Yeah. I only say that because my friend's a real estate agent and he's mowing his lawn at noon. Right. So there.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah. Well, he's not acting very professional if he happens to be an accountant.
Yeah. Well, there's that too.
I really haven't seen a nice body on any of those men that are behind him. Like, give me a break.
So hang on a second.
It's totally ridiculous.
So Sue, are you saying you're all for the heckling if somebody has a six pack heckling is okay?
No. But I mean, They just look like complete idiots. That's exactly what they look like.
All right. Thanks so much for the phone call, Sue. Really appreciate it. 519-570-2545 locally. Out of town, 1-800-570-5715, *570 on your cell, and by email, eric@570news.com. Now, Matt, I know that you are of the mindset, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're of the mindset that Rob Ford deserves everything that he's getting right now, but you say keep giving it to him. Keep giving it to Rob Ford so that he understands where we're all coming from. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I'm glad that he went to rehab, and I will give him that. You know, two thumbs up. He did the right thing there, but it doesn't undo the wrongs that he did. He made his bed. He has to lie in it. And if that means a bunch of guys take off their shirts and yell at him, that's what he deserves. And that's an awkward situation, and it makes me uncomfortable just listening to, you know, the resign. But that's really what Rob Ford deserves until he, you know, is out of the picture.
But he's not going to win.
Well, people are still going to vote for him. Not all of the people, but some people. And he thinks that he has a shot at being mayor because he's still running. So obviously he doesn't know get him back into office.
We all know the Ford family are quite stubborn. How long did it take him to admit that he was smoking crack?
Yeah, and that's another part of it. You know, he lied for so long about all these things. You don't get a free pass when you lie for months and then come clean. You lied for months, and that's still, you know, a thing.
This is Stan. Hi, Stan. How are you?
Good. I can't wait for the Miramax films, the Rob Ford story. I don't know, but Chris Farley would have done.
Oh, man, Chris Farley would have been fantastic.
All I can picture is a fat guy in a little coat and Rob Ford just going back and forth in his business coat. And this fat guy in a little coat. But, yeah, no, Miramax film, the Rob Ford story, he'll definitely come to fruition.
Stan, let me. Do you feel sorry for Rob Ford at all when you hear that heckling?
No, the heckling. No, he's been an athlete, but I don't know how, like a coach and all that stuff. Heckling is a part. He doesn't mind the heckling. It's not going to faze him, and I don't feel bad for him. To answer your question, I don't feel bad for him.
All right, Stan, have yourself a great morning. Really appreciate the phone call. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll take more of your calls and emails. The emails are definitely coming in right after this on Rogers TV and 570 News.
As you know.
Resign.
As you know, friends.
Resign. You don't have any friends.
Traffic congestion costs Toronto billions of dollars each and every year.
You're ineffective and you don't.
Traffic creates pollution and harms the environment. It keeps us away.
Resign.
I actually feel bad for Rob Ford. And as I mentioned, I'm one of his biggest critics. I think that he you know, this is his own doing. There's no question about it. But the man said that he has a problem. He went to rehab like he said he would. He's back now, supposedly, as a changed man. Is the shirtless heckling at every event that he's going to be doing from now to October really needed? What is it doing? It's almost kicking someone when they're down. You know, but to me, there is no way Rob Ford wins this election. And yes, to your point, Matt, some people will be voting for him, but you know, and so be it. That's fine. But he's not going to win. And why not just let this fizzle out now? So the question I have is, after doing what he said he would, going to rehab, does Rob Ford still deserve this relentless heckling? 519-570-2545 locally, out of town, 1-800-570-5715, *570 on your cell, and by email, eric@570news.com. This is Tim in Waterloo. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, I kind of like to separate a lot of what's going on. Rob Ford's policies and politics are separate from the human being, I believe. And I think in the media especially, I saw a big, negative on social media today. Some of the Toronto stations led with, revelations from his personal stint in his therapy clinic.
Yeah.
And I see a big outlash right now, especially with what happened on Breakfast Television. When Kevin Frankish actually had quotes from people that were in, you know, within his recovery group, which is supposed to be confidential, right? So I think when people really go to that extent to devalue the man. It's very hypocritical, and I think it's going beyond the politics of today. I think some of his detractors and some of the people that hated the man before this was found out are just going way too far right now, and I think it has the potential to gain a lot of sympathy for the man and to get him back into this race just because of that.
So you're saying this could actually maybe benefit him?
I really do think so, because if you really think, he's not a conservative or, you know, liberal or anything. He's a populist mayor, and he had all sorts of people voting for him because he was basically, you know, just against the status quo. And if you look at who these shirtless individuals are, they're the same individuals who didn't like him before all these issues, right? They're just five or six of the loud, you know, noisy certain segment of, you know, detractors that Rob Ford's always railed against, you know, and I don't want to have to label these people, but, you know, they're shirtless, you know, thin young men, if you want to generalize who they are and what group they belong to. They've always hated the mayor. So I think the popular statement that, you know, because if you look at who he's running against, there really only is one alternative, because John Tory is basically, and Olivia Chow, they're kind of sort of the same in the type of spending they want to do down there. So you only really have one alternative. And I do feel sorry for him now, because we all have people in our families that have gone through, we're not perfect people, right? We've all have people who have been in recovery and have had issues. I know he's living his life on, you know, we're seeing him on the evening news every night destroy himself. But if you look at recovery in any alcoholic or someone who's abused drugs, that's what they do.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't think you're going to go to, to work the program within an AA meeting, you actually have to go to the demons that cause you to drink. And if, God forbid, if he was emotional, like, that's part of the process, to be real, right?
Yeah, no, you bring up a lot of good points, Tim. Good call. Thanks so much for that. Really appreciate it. On the email, eric@570news.com, this one from Louise, who says, there is a joke among families of addicts. How do you know when an addict is lying? His lips are moving, LOL. Rob Ford is a liar, and if he took his rehab seriously, he would have resigned and worked on himself and his family. And I think that's part of it. I think that if Rob Ford really, and I mean truly, truly wanted to work on himself as an individual, Louise is absolutely right. You would not be running to stay mayor of the largest city of a country. You wouldn't be. You just simply would not have the time to do it. So I think that there's a couple of things here at play. Some of his biggest critics, like myself, say, look, he brought this upon himself because, again, frankly, I don't know enough about Rob Ford and his political career to be able to criticize him on whether he's a good mayor or not. That actually means little to me. To me, you cannot be smoking crack cocaine and being caught on videos with known drug dealers if you're a mayor, period. That's where all of my criticism stemmed from. But now, since we all know that, and I just, Scott, who is my biggest critic, eric@570news.com, who are you to judge? You're an AM radio host in KW. That's true. But I'm actually paid to have an opinion, and so I'm just airing it. Scott, thanks for your email. And all I'm saying is, now that he's done what he said he would, maybe it's time to just let him fizzle out and let this kind of take place. Because to me, there's no way he's winning. We'll be back with more on Rogers TV and 570 News.